Let us now turn to a time of listening to our holy wisdom. Let us pray. As your word is read, O Lord, by your Spirit, open our hearts to hear your message in new ways. Our first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It's called The Vision of God in the Temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And the gospel is taken from the book of John, chapter 3. The story of Nicodemus visiting Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the witness of God's holy people to all generations. When I met Chris for the first time in July, he and I decided that we were going to frame the summer series of worship around the theme of new beginnings. It seemed easy enough in the sense that St. James Rosemount, of course, is beginning a new pastoral relationship with Chris. And you members have been through your own trials and tribulations, and I'm sure are looking forward to this time of renewal and joy. Trinity is also starting something new, and it's very, very risky. The decision has been made to step away from the physical building so that we can focus on rebuilding ourselves as a people of God in the city core. In both situations, in both congregations, we are beginning new ways with a long story of love that has been passed on from generation to generation. Last week, for those of you who were with us, we looked at this connection between family gatherings and how generations share stories in order to build a sense of belonging and identity in any of the circumstances that may be new. A new grandchild that comes, or people get married and there's new people in the family. We tell the stories of our families and what was important to us along the journey. The invitation was for our faith communities to begin to do the same kinds of things in our neighborhoods, to gather in sacred story circles as a way to make new communities and as a way to combat the ever-growing number of lonely people who live right next door. For many of us Christians, being able to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love in our personal lives has become difficult. We don't share so easily that story. We don't see our extended family as much to share the story. A story that goes silent can be devastating for all future generations. There's a Hasidic tale, which is kind of like a Jewish parable, about a rabbi who saw that his village was to be attacked. He went into a special part of the forest, lit a fire, and said a prayer so that his village might be spared. One generation later, when another threat was upon the village, another rabbi would go to the same place in the forest and light a fire. But he was never taught the prayer. Still later, another rabbi, hoping to save his people once more, would go into that place in the forest. He did not know the prayer or even how to light a fire. Finally, in another generation, there was another threat on the village and another rabbi. This rabbi was unable to light the fire. He did not know the prayer, and now he couldn't even find the place in the forest. Rabbi Barry Polasar reflected on this tale with these words. When I first heard the story, I realized that without a deliberate effort, our Jewish heritage might become so diminished that soon, very soon, We would be unable to say the prayers, light the fire, or find our own place in the forest which has protected us and given us meaning as a people in this world. I would claim that this is true for us Christians who gather today. We too are having difficulty finding our way to the forest of meaning in the context of this ever-changing world. We struggle to say our prayers often and boldly enough, publicly with our families, and sometimes even in our gatherings. And we are unsure how to light the fire, except at times like this. Yesterday, the United Church of Canada remembered and honored the apology to the First Nations people of Canada, spoken and offered to them 30 years ago in Sudbury. In doing so, we, the United Church people, acknowledged that our actions did not always live out that old, old story of love. That, in fact, we had been shaped by a world of progress that took us far too often out of the forest of meaning. We took the story away from the people when we took their children away. We took the ancient knowledge of the place of the forest and how to light the sacred fire of protection when we took away their potlatch. A potlatch, if you do not know, is a gathering for celebration and for sharing the community story, just like we will be gathering in a short while for a meal and storytelling amongst each other. But the potlatch ceremony was also a critical place of economic rebalancing among all the people in the tribe. You could think of it as a place of restorative justice. Our actions left generations of people to wander the highways of life with no place of gathering, no healing stories. We created a loss among the First Nations and among ourselves. It has fractured our identity and sense of belonging as well as theirs. Yet, I truly believe that is these fractures now hold our greatest hope. We fractured the people from being able to tell stories and to belong. And yet, we have the ability, and I believe we have the will, to create sacred circles for such storytelling and breaking bread together. Liz Weaver, conflict resolution person working in Northern Ireland during and after the height of the conflicts there, shares this insight about stories. If people take the time to listen to one another's story, they are paying them respect. Even if the other person's position is diametrically opposed to our own, the very act of listening to their stories is very important. It acknowledges them as members of a space and a life that we share together. If every congregation within the United Church of Canada had such sacred circles for stories with our First Nations people, what kind of love might begin to emerge from this new beginning? Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark, unsure of his own need, not wanting anyone to see him. Nicodemus was seeking a story that Jesus seemed to be able to touch and hold, a story of the mystery of the Spirit that brings us close, very close, to the reign of God. It's a story that helps us understand that the reign of God is not like our normal human ways. The reign of God comes when we gather, break bread, and remember the old, old story of being God's people first. Nicodemus was given a chance to be born again spiritually with a new understanding of how to live in God's way. I think we too are being offered a chance to be born again as a people for this time and place, to learn how to share that old, old story of love in a much better way. It is an opportunity given to us to turn our face once again towards the Creator and that power of love, so that we can embrace reconciliation with our brothers and sisters of the First Nations. We have the ability to create a new space for telling and listening. We have the ability to create a space that holds mystery and love together. We have the ability to create a space where each person can share from their own experiences and define for themselves what is meaningful from the generations from the past and for the generations of the future. God is giving us new opportunities for transformation and hope. God is calling. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What shall be our response in these days ahead as Christian communities? I pray that it will be a resounding, "Here we are, send us." Amen.